I'm Ebony K. Williams, attorney and host. Welcome to Holden Court, where we analyze the latest legal headlines that everybody's already talking about. But we dig deep into how the courts impact the culture. We break it all down, going straight from gavel to your newsfeed. And every week, we keep it 100. Right, Dustin?
That's right, E. Let's hold court.
Mr. Marvelous Dustin Ross, how are you, sweetie?
I'm wonderful now. This is a chair I want to be in today.
Yeah.
So I'm wonderful now. How you doing, love?
It's a special day. We're going to get to why in a second.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, contrary to how I look, I'm feeling good. Let me explain these sunglasses.
Which is crazy because you look good, but go ahead.
Thank
I believe
you,
in sunglasses in the room. Hell.
So that...
Ebony.
That, well, when you shine as brightly as you do.
Hey,
Dustin,
you would know.
Hey,
okay.
Hey,
that's that part.
So I'm sitting up in here with these damn glasses on because your friend got a chemical peel. You know, I'm of a particular age.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, these are this is our money maker.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So in an effort to respect my exfoliation process.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike some people we've talked about on this show, I'm talking to you, Irvine.
If somebody don't send him a pumice stone
quickly
and a loofah
and some vitamin C,
that's right. Anyway. Sandpaper. Okay.
Listen.
Something at this point.
A drill bit.
Yes.
Anyway, I availed myself to my fantastic dermatologist and got a medical grade chemical peel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it's important, ladies and gentlemen, let me be very clear.
Skin is,
all the people. Yeah. And when you get to a certain age, it's important, no matter how great your skin is, to go ahead and deeply exfoliate.
Yes.
So as a result of that, Dustin, my eyes did not agree with the process.
Mm-hmm.
So they are watering to the point where I can barely keep them open.
Mm-hmm.
And the eyes, the light rather, is irritating my eyeballs.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm wearing these glasses for that
what
reason.
A pro you are. Are you still in that chair? Most people would have caught off.
Oh, no, baby.
Okay.
That woman sitting in the corner that our audience can't see.
Ooh.
Miss Gloria J. Williams.
Yes.
Also known as Mama Gloria.
The one and only.
The matriarch.
Okay, give it
the
up.
The original boss.
Okay.
She don't believe in no calling out.
Yes.
That was not allowed in the household.
Yep.
She was one of the mamas, you know, like when you are actually sick for school.
Yep.
She'd be like, girl, you better wrap that arm up and come the hell on.
Get you some ginger ale.
Get you some Vicks.
Okay.
And get your ass on this school bus.
Okay.
All my taxes I'm paying.
Okay. That was the conversation. That was.
See. We're not talking about you right now. See, this is what happens when you bring your mama to work. Bring your mama to work.
Bring your mother to work day.
So speaking of, we're coming up off of Mother's Day weekend, Dustin.
Yes.
Where in the world was Dustin Ross for Mother's Day?
Well, believe it or not, I actually had business to handle.
I believe
on
knowing
Mother's Day.
Knowing the businessman that you are.
You know, we got to do it.
Yeah.
Okay. The house must be built.
And the bills won't pay themselves.
They won't. So I had to go to Atlanta, and what was initially going to be a day trip, I ended up just staying overnight. It made more sense.
Yep.
I was able to go to the, you know about the Everyday People party series, right?
I sure do, of course.
Yeah.
When I first moved to New York, that was
you remember those parties at the Delancey on the Lloyd side?
Absolutely. Been to one or two myself.
So now they are a global party series. They do them in South Africa, all over the world. But they had an Atlanta one on Saturday. So after I finished my business, went down there, saw tons of people. You know, you go to Atlanta, so you see people you ain't seen in years.
From third grade.
Okay?
Yeah.
So I ran into so many people and then flew back here to be here this morning, but baby, let me tell
because
you.
Because you also don't believe in calling out.
No. You got to get your... Yeah, I hate cussing because Mama Gloria in the room.
Oh, that's who
but
you think
got, you got to get your A, you know, up out the bed, okay?
Yes, up out the bed.
But you know who did not get up out the bed, or either they just didn't have the bodies at all, was the crew at American Air.
Uh-oh.
Which some may consider my first mistake, you know, fine American.
I didn't want to say anything in this moment.
Yeah, I know you ain't going to judge me, but I know what you're thinking.
Well,
you know?
I know that when you lay with dogs,
you're
going to get fleas.
Okay. So they just shout out to the young lady who was kind enough to be honest with me about what was going on
what
in the airport. They were simply understaffed.
Okay.
They just did not have the crew. And so they were pushing flights back, canceling flights. And unfortunately, mine was affected. What initially was a simple straight ticket from Atlanta to New York. Very simple flight, which you know, if are familiar
very
with.
Very familiar.
Became a canceled flight, a connecting flight, a delay that missed the connection. I was almost stuck in Charlotte.
Okay, shout out to the Queen City.
Okay. Mm-hmm. For reasons I'll tell you after we cut the mics. But anyway.
Come on, let me find it. It's the Kang City.
So,
go ahead.
but it was just a terrible traffic day. But shout out to, there was a beautiful black lady and there was a Latin sister who has saved my life.
Thank God. And how'd you get home?
I was nice.
Okay.
I literally, those people were giving them hell in that airport. Yeah. And I understood it because I had those frustrations, but I also knew that they, sitting behind that desk, you know, had been at the brunt.
Yeah, and they control your destiny at that point.
And it's a good self-check. I don't want to be looking all old, like I sleep with my fist balled up at night, mad all the time. Yeah. So I just relaxed. And that ended up being
So they were able to reroute you back to. And so you got home late last night?
They initially had me in going to Newark. That sister hooked me up. Flew right into LaGuardia where I wanted to.
That's
and
a
you
big
know,
difference.
You know.
That's an hour plus of your time.
And a $100 Uber.
At least.
That you spin and get mad and cuss
and
after you do.
And they're going to be 15 told.
Thank you. Yeah. So, but yeah, so that's what happened to me. How was your Mother's Day?
Damn, shout out to American Air. I will say this. I want to say this. I didn't know this was a thing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm a loyal Delta Airlines.
Yes.
Sky Medallion member. And I was upgraded. I'm Diamond Medallion, fine, whatever. I was upgraded to first class on this flight recently. I want to say it might have been going to Atlanta my damn self.
Okay.
Something close like that. And you know me, shocker, I was running late. And so I'm running to the gate with my little bag, child. And even first class was full.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, you know, I thought I'd ask. You know, we've all done this. You know that they try to gate check your bag at the gate.
Yeah.
And I'm trying, you know, I try to be defiant. So I take my little joint off.
Because it gets lost all the time.
And you know, I'm not playing when it comes to my bags because you know what it is.
The most important stuff is in the carry-on anyway.
And so, low-key, my bag is the thing. My bag could be full with cardboard.
With circus peanuts.
Right. People going to want the bag.
Yeah.
That's what time it is over here.
Yeah.
So I was like, anyways, I'm trying to, you know, hey, ma'am, is there any extra room in first class for my bag? And she says, no, ma'am, I'm so sorry. It's full. And this is how I know I've grown, personally, Dustin. You know, there was a younger and more immature time in my life. Where
just walk on the plane.
I said, you know what, ma'am? You're right. I was late.
Mm-hmm.
So my consequence is I have to check this motherfucking bag.
Mm-hmm.
Not a problem. So I did that. Do you know halfway through the flight, this young, and this white lady, since we're giving out identifying descriptors, comes up to me, kneels down, and she says, ma'am, is this your SkyMiles number? I said, it is. You know, this woman gave me like 15,000 miles.
Just for being
nice. For being nice.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
For being nice.
I'm telling you.
She said, let me deposit these because, you know, you could have handled that a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And especially with these first class travelers.
Some of the worst attitudes you've ever seen in life.
And I said, man, first of all, I appreciate that. And second of all, you need to know that your job is already hard enough without us piling on. So that's just a little tip.
That's how I felt. Yeah. We always on the same page.
Per usual.
Mm-hmm.
No, Mother's Day weekend was fabulous. My
Wonderful.
Gloria came through. So that's always a vibe.
Yes.
We spent Mother's Day at Melba's.
Oh,
shout out to Miss Melba, baby.
Yes.
And everybody was up in Melba's, child. Gail King and her favorite son, Will, were there.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, all your usual Harlemite celebrities.
Melba's is the perfect watering hole in Harlem.
It literally, if you don't know where else to go, baby, pull
go
up
to
Melba's.
And the thing about it is the food is actually good. It's not just one of those places you go to for the environment.
No,
you know what I mean?
It's not just a C&B scene.
Yeah.
It's a eat destination.
And then you got to wipe your mouth. When you speak to somebody at Melba's, you definitely wipe in the corner first. And
I was hoping nobody was coming up in my face because until I finish my chicken and eggnog waffle, I'm really not interested in speaking to
first
you.
First things first, okay?
And second thing is them catfish strips.
That's right. Oh, my God. They're legendary.
Yes.
You have to get those.
Okay. My mom is over here making fun of me because, I eat with my fingers when it comes to that type of food. Catfish strips are finger food.
Some stuff you're supposed
to. Challenge me on it.
Yeah, I feel you.
That's what that is.
I wish I would take a fork to a catfish strip.
Slap the face off you.
Well, that's it. And I'm going to look at you funny if you do.
Yeah, I'm going to say you're trying to be, as my grandfather would say, molding what you is.
Getting above your raisin.
That's it.
Okay. That's right.
So now that we got our black ass Mother's Day weekend stories out of the way, we're going to get to a docket. Now, this is interesting and a little unusual for us, but I like it when this happens on Holding Court.
Mm-hmm.
The docket is thematic this episode, right?
Sometimes there's a thread.
There's a through line.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this week's episode is get your popcorn ready, pour your wine or your whiskey, whatever is your preference. This is all about paternity. This is essentially an elevated Maury Povich episode, this particular episode of Holding Court. We're going to start, of course, with Jay-Z's been in the headlines. Now, of course, those of us of a particular age have been hearing the rumblings of Jay-Z's alleged children for years.
Yep.
And I'm not talking about Blue Ivy. I'm not talking about Suri. What's the other baby's names?
Rumi and Sir.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's it. I was seeing an S, an I, and an R.
Anyway. I see all the letters together sometimes.
Very Wheel of Fortune of me. So this is now a highly publicized paternity suit that Jay-Z is dealing with. This is a grown man who's been for over 10 years, and this is a fact-heavy docket item, and I'm going to do something I normally don't do. Is I'm going to give y'all a lot of facts on this one because they're necessary to get the context of really what's going on with this Jay-Z thing. Because if you look on social, Dustin, you know, all of our favorites, shout out to Hollywood Unlocked, Shade Room, and everybody's Jasmine Bramasaur, everybody's posting the side-by-side of this young man and Jay-Z, and it could look just like another fluff piece. But this one's got some meat on the bones, and we're going to unpack that. So that's Jay-Z's paternity suit that's actually now in the Supreme Court of New Jersey. So that's, this ain't trial level no more. This is elevated. Then we're going to go on to a man in Texas who has allegedly shot and killed his girlfriend. Really, really sad story, Dustin. This is their Texas-based couple because the dum-dums in Texas, all the way from Abbott, the governor, to the Supreme Court in Texas.
Yes.
And this dum-dum Supreme Court we have that has recently overturned Roe versus Wade, all of those idiotic decision makers put together have essentially outlawed abortion of almost any stage and kind in the state of Texas. You just can't get one anymore outside of the slimmest of exceptions. So this young lady
can't wait till them abortions start coming out the woodwork that they're still having their mistresses and teenage daughters and teenage lovers. I can't wait.
Emphasis on lovers.
Can't wait.
If you know, you know. And the reality is what we know historically, you cannot legislate morality. And this is an attempt to legislate morality. We'll get to it in a minute when we get to it on the docket. But essentially, this young woman travels to Colorado where she can legally obtain a safe and legal abortion. And that same day, she is shot and killed in the head by this boyfriend who did not want her to get an abortion. And really, you know, where Ashley Hobbs, our producer on this show, was able to kind of zoom out on this one, Dustin. And we're going to have a healthy conversation around the tangential consequences of making abortion illegal. Like,
absolutely.
It's not just about the abortion. Now you're talking about domestic violence. Now you're talking about homicide. Now we're talking about all the other things that come along with that decision.
Which should have been a part of the conversation and the thought process before you took it to the courts. But go ahead.
But here we are, right? And then we're going to close with, you know, I think we're going to start a friend of the show celebrity list. You know, Tyrese will be on the top of that list. He's often in headline for legal woes. And so is this gentleman, Neo. Neo is back at it. This is an interesting one, though. This is not really, to me, from a legal standpoint, Dustin, reading negatively on Neo. This is actually Neo trying to get in front of something.
Yeah.
So he is filing a paternity suit to see if he is interesting, though. So we reported on the fact that part of the reason for his divorce, at least per his now ex-wife, Crystal, is that he had an outside baby, essentially, right? And he said, why leave it at one when we could have two? And so he's had these two children by the same woman.
Yep.
Her first name is Sade, and the internet had a field day with that. They really did a lot.
Wow.
Y'all thirsty for Sade.
Wow.
Anyway. And Neo's essentially seeking a paternity determination on only one of the two children, which I find interesting. We'll get to it. So let's go to Jay-Z. Y'all have seen the side-by-sides of a young man named Ramir Satterwhite.
Yep.
He is filing. He has, first of all, let's back up. He has been in a legal brouhaha with Sean Corey Carter for almost 12 years. Let's talk about how it started. Right now, Ramir is a 30-year-old grown man. He's been in this battle with Jay-Z, who is 53, for, like I said, over 10-some years. Ramir is obviously claiming that Jay-Z is his biological father. Most recently, this is just a couple months ago in February, Ramir has filed a Supreme Court motion. Again, this is we're past the trial level. He's requesting that the case be unsealed because he's saying that the sealed nature, which is what Jay-Z and his team have insisted upon and obtained the sealing of these records, even though normally paternity and these types of filings, child support, those would be public record. But I get it. It's Jay-Z. His team is doing right by him and saying, let's keep this under wraps. Well, Ramir, the alleged son, is saying that the secrecy, the sealing of the record is aiding Jay-Z in his ability to avoid and circumvent the paternity test that he needs to move forward with his claim. So now, how did we get here? Okay, let's talk about this letter that the Daily Mail received from Jay-Z's team. This is in response to Ramirez's Supreme Court motion. Jay-Z's team says this: this allegation has been previously reviewed thoroughly by the courts and has been refuted. I'm sure that will be the outcome of whatever filings Mr. Satterthwaite is currently considering.
Mm-hmm.
So they say a lot there. Essentially, they're saying, and let's go to Ramirez's response to that. This is not going to be over until justice is served. I just want to live my life. And when it's all said and done, I hope that Jay-Z would want to be a part of my life, if that's God's will. I won't stop fighting for this until I win. And I will win because the law is on our side, end quote.
I love how justice is served was in quotations.
Well, I'm glad you picked up on that too, Justin. Mm-hmm. Where did your mind go when you saw that?
Because what's justice in this situation?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I'll save my comments, but we just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
What is justice? You know what?
I think he gave us a clue when he says, I would hope Jay-Z would want to be a part of my life. I think that's a part of his justice, which I'm going to also unpack because I think he's setting himself up. Even if not just a legal defeat, certainly an emotional one. And you know I know about it.
I mean, like,
so,
just...
yeah. Okay, so I said something in there, Dustin, about Jay-Z's legal team saying that there have been many claims, and they weren't lying about that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to it. This thing started in 1992. Ramirez's mother was a woman, she's passed, named Wanda.
Mm-hmm.
And Wanda and Jay-Z, according to Wanda, had a little romance.
Little one-two step. Mm-hmm.
Back in 92, when she was off with her then on again, off again high school sweetheart. So during the off phase, it was a little jigga action. Then she got back with the boo. Here we go. Gives birth to the baby. By the time Ramir was born in 93, Wanda and Jay-Z's one-two step was done. She's back with the high school sweetheart, a man named Robert Graves. And so Wanda elects to put Robert Graves' name on the birth certificate. Now, a note about this. I think most people know this, but we can't take anything for granted here, Dustin. The name on a birth certificate is not controlling.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's fine. It can be helpful in some situations. But certainly if it's there erroneously by either mistake, could be fraud.
Right.
Just could be simple, you know, whatever. That can always be changed or vacated.
Yeah.
So I don't want people to get caught up in the fact that, oh, well, Jay-Z's name wasn't on the birth certificate. That means nothing.
It's meaningless.
It's literally meaningless. Okay, so let's fast forward. 2011, Ms. Wanda hands over custody of her son to her godmother, a woman named Lily Coley. That woman said, I'm going to keep this fight on. She says, I was just trying to help my goddaughter's child have a relationship with his father. That's another clue. Have a relationship with his father. Okay. This woman contacts Miss Lily, the godmother, contacts Jay-Z's legal team asking if Jay-Z would be willing to voluntarily undergo a DNA test in New Jersey. Blah, blah, blah. A lot of facts were basically, and this is happening in court, y'all. This is not letters. These are hearings in New Jersey courtrooms where Jay-Z's lawyer is saying Miss Lily doesn't have proper jurisdiction.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was originally filed in Pennsylvania. I mean, they're pulling all the, you know, and I can't hate on these legal arguments because they're valid. You know, the jurisdiction's an issue. Who filed it is an issue. Godmama versus Wanda, Pennsylvania versus New Jersey. All these things y'all are being litigated in New Jersey Superior Court. And every time it was brought up, Jay-Z was prevailed. Now, this is what's really, really important here. Jay-Z's lawyers also insisted that the case should be dismissed outright because Ramir, at this point, was over 18 years old. And according to Pennsylvania state law, paternity has to be established before a child reaches the age of adulthood, which is legally 18. So that's Pennsylvania's law. That's the argument Jay-Z's lawyers make. Judge says, pause, boop, skirt. On 22s, check your baby mama.
Okay. Yes.
Robas, not Hondas.
Okay.
Okay.
You feel like summer when you start singing that.
That part.
Yes.
Outside time.
Okay.
Court disagreed with that argument, says, no, this is going to be held to New Jersey law,
mm-hmm.
not Pennsylvania law. And in New Jersey, that age of parentage
mm-hmm.
is not till you're 23.
Okay.
And that age of parentage, Dustin, is important. So for y'all jurors listening, and this has any factual relevance to you and yours.
Right.
You need to know that that age of parentage depends on where you live. So if you're in New York, for instance, it's 21.
Mm.
In New Jersey, it's 23. In Pennsylvania, it's 18. And think about the fact that all of those are very different ages.
Yeah.
All within like a little
window.
A little small landmass of the U.S.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, Pennsylvania, Jersey, and New York is all
right there.
Right there.
Yep.
So imagine what it is in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Tennessee, Texas.
Yeah.
So figure that out.
Before you get the hotel room. Right.
Say get on the front end.
Okay.
Okay. You right, though. So now, Jay-Z's team, you know, they have to eat that one because, you know, that's the court actually really sides on the young man's side of that. He does have till 23. Great. Jay-Z's team then says that Jay-Z should not have to undergo the DNA test in New Jersey because he doesn't live there. That's back to jurisdiction. He doesn't own property there. Da, da, da. So basic jurisdictional law, y'all. In order for you to be, quote, dragged into court in a particular jurisdiction, they have to show that you are a resident or that you have some tether, that you have availed yourself to that area by ownership of property, by working a job there, by owning a business there. Jay-Z's team is like, we ain't got no business in New Jersey, so we're not going. That's the argument. Lawyer says this, quote, my client does not have any contacts in New Jersey. Now, okay. He doesn't own residences. He doesn't own anything in Alpine, New Jersey. He doesn't own anything in Newport, New Jersey. I don't know what information is out there. It's on the internet. That's what Jay-Z's lawyer says. Judge dismisses on that argument. Ramirez's lawyer, the young man's lawyer, immediately appeals, saying that's a lie, saying that we've got documents, we've got deeds, Your Honor, that say that Jay-Z owns not one, not two, but three properties. We've got tax records. We've got all this saying that he indeed is tethered to New Jersey and that his lawyer lied and committed fraud before this court. I'll spare y'all the details. Essentially, the judge partially agrees. Ramirez's team does provide documents where they show that, you know, all of these things are owned by Jay-Z. The lawyer says, oops, I misspoke because I said that Jay-Z's primary residence was 411 Broadway in New York City. Now, I'm going to guess you've probably been. Have you been to that building?
I know exactly where 411 Broadway is, and that is not a residence, ma'am.
No, we've had meetings there. I've been there for Justice Coalition. It's an office. It's commercial space. Jay-Z nor Beyonce nor anybody in the family live there because it's not a private residence. So the lawyer at this point is kind of caught up, has to say I did misspeak at the last hearing because I really did think that Broadway was his home address. Now, that's a shameful admission by the lawyer, because why don't you know where your client actually
and
lives?
And what do you mean you misspoke? I'm really trying to watch my mouth.
I wish you would stop.
But what do you mean? Because you know it'd be right here.
Mama Gloria not paying no bills.
You know it'd be right here.
I understand.
But what do you mean you're my lawyer? See, for me.
Yeah. No,
my lawyer can't be misspeaking.
Now that lawyer has a credibility issue, though, in front of the judge. Let's be clear. So if I'm the judge and I wanna ride with you, counselor, but you're telling me that you hold misrepresented where your client, not my client, your client lives, it turns out it's not even a house. It's not like, oh, that was one of his three houses. That is the commercial space for whole Rock Nation.
Like, what are you even talking about? Fire her, please.
Immediately. But ultimately, this goes show, y'all, this is a case study in the minutia of the law.
Yeah.
Ultimately, even with that, quote, misspoken BS, Jay-Z and his team still prevail. Why? Because the judge says, I see these deeds of residency, occupation, and ownership in New Jersey, and I can see that somebody named Sean Corey Carter owns them and lives there, but I don't know if it's this Sean Corey Carter that's in the courtroom today. So basically, the judge is saying that the claimant has failed to prove that the Sean Corey Carter listed on the deeds was, in fact, the same Sean Corey Carter that they are alleging is the father.
Question.
Yes, sir.
Because you said, how old is this Ramirez gentleman?
At this point, 30.
So even if they are able to establish this residency of Jay-Z in New Jersey, he's 30. So right. The age of parentage, you said, was 23, correct?
All of that's important, yes. But at this point, the only reason that he's still even able to navigate this is because underneath his claim, brilliant question, Dustin, as always, is an allegation that Jay-Z has been evading justice around this since he was 21.
Okay.
That's the issue. So if he was just starting today, moot, so sorry, too bad, too late, you lost, bye-bye. But because he's saying, Your Honor, the only reason I'm 30, still seeking justice here, is because Sean Corey Carter and his legal team have been evading the process for over 12 years. Mm-hmm. At a time in which I would have been under the requisite age of parentage. Mm-hmm. So that's very key what you just pointed out there, Dustin. Okay, so now back to Mr. How dedicated is this relatively young man, I guess 30, at proving his point? He's saying, I've spent over $20,000 on lawyers and other things related to this case, experts, I'm sure, genetic tests, all this stuff, because I knew it was the right thing to do. And then his mother, on her dying deathbed, says this, quote, and she passed away in 2016. My name is Wanda Satterwaith. I am the mother of Ramir Satterwaith. Today is April 20th, 2016, and I want the world to know that I support my son in his paternity suit with Sean Corey Carter. I stand by my allegations regarding this man. We're almost to the finish line, y'all. Okay. This continues, 2015, 2016. Y'all, Ramir and his godmama, Miss Lily, have filed some version of a civil rights complaint and or filing in the following years, 15, 2017, 2018, 2019, 2020, 2021, 2022. So they have been consistent, and they were all dismissed. So now where are we now? 2022, Ramir does a YouTube video.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say this, and then we're going to get to our feelings, Dustin, on what's really at play here. Ramir says this on YouTube. I don't feel like our rights are appreciated. There's a lot of fraud and collusion that have been going on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to let that pass. We are going in there with our hard-earned money to fight fraud. The judges are allowing this to go on. Someone over them should be held responsible for this. I just want everyone to keep their eyes open. We should never go into courtroom feeling like we are the victims. We got stepped on and tried to get dragged through the system. I will not let anyone put this on my name, my mother's name, or my godmother's name. So now he's talking about credibility, right? We will fight for what is right like we have been doing all these years. End quote. We all know that Jay-Z, of course, has never publicly acknowledged anything about any of these alleged children that he's had over the years. But in 2018, there was an album with his wife, Beyonce, we know called The Carters.
Mm-hmm.
And he vaguely addressed the issue. He had a song lyric where he says, quote, Billie Jean in his prime, for the thousandth time, the kid ain't mine, online they call me dad. Kiddingly, you're not supposed to take this dad thing literally. I got a lot to say, but I want to hear from you. Reflections, when you saw this online, Dustin, me going through all these minutia of facts, does it change anything for you? How does this land?
There's a couple different things here, right? Because number one, it's very possible that this could be true.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? People have these sort of passing and casual relationships all the time, right? It's not a bad thing. It's just a life thing. Like, people have them.
It's a reason that we say mama's baby, daddy's baby.
It is,
baby.
You know, and that's not excusing that sort of, that school of thought, but that's the way it is, right?
Can I just drop a random factoid that proves it proves your point, Dustin, of just the matter of fact nature of that this is this controls across the color line, the religious line. You know, in Jewish communities, you are only Jewish through your mother. And the reason for that is because the Jewish community is acknowledging this here.
That's some of the most stepping out people I've ever seen. You know what I mean?
Yes, of course. Yeah, no. So literally, and a lot, I remember, you know, when I was learning about more about Jewish culture in the last 10 years, I would be curious, like, you know, because a lot of times in black culture, at least in this one right here, Mama Gloria has always taught me whatever the daddy is what you are. You know, that's the daddy is controlling. Jews say absolutely not, because we don't really know what that really is. But we know that if you are born, you know, from a Jewish womb, you are Jewish.
Yeah.
But that daddy part, no. In like the most strict Jewish Orthodox, you know, some even conservative, if you are born of a non-Jewish mother but a whole Jewish father, you have to convert to Judaism.
Yes, you do.
To get right of return and all that. So I just use that as a really, like, present example of just how prevalent what you are speaking to is.
Yes,
so
it's far-reaching.
It's not salacious. It's not, at this point, we could act outraged, but mm-hmm. we know it is what it is.
It is what it is. People have those sort of relationships.
Yeah.
So there's that. Another thing that was of note to me in this particular situation goes back to some thoughts that you had on the Shanquella Robinson case as far as the mugshot and the, not mugshot, forgive me, as far as the picture of her.
That's hilarious, though. I know you didn't mean that, but yeah, that's funny.
The picture of her
optics
they used.
Yeah.
There's a picture for every article I've seen.
The same one. It's the same photo.
The same picture of this gentleman that they're using as a side-by-side with these Jay-Z pictures to kind of drive this conversation forward, and it's working because everybody's saying that
We see it.
Yeah.
In that particular photo, there's some resemblance.
I feel like I don't have any thoughts or commentary on who's right or wrong in this situation because this is at its core a personal matter.
What the hell you in here for?
It's a personal matter, right?
Like, of the most personal.
But what we can do is opine on the facts that we've been given, which is what you just laid out. So let's talk about
it. Let's talk about it.
The gentleman said that there's been collusion going on for years. Mm-hmm. I think an example of what could be the collusion he's talking about is the point that you mentioned where the judge said, okay, we see these deeds and documents, but we don't know if that's the same Sean Corey Carter, same exact name,
now,
same exact spelling.
Now, how many Sean Corey Carters
do you know? I only know one, you know?
Yeah, come on now, Your Honor. Now, I can see if it was like a generic name.
But that is a very specific.
Stephanie Smith,
Okay. Mm-hmm. Bob Johnson, you know what I mean?
even though my mind does go to one. But that's another story for another day.
Come on. So, like, just ask. Anyway.
No, you know what? Leave it alone.
Okay, so.
Leave it alone.
Yeah.
I know where you're going.
So, okay, so, you know, so then there's that.
Yeah.
Then there's also the fact that Jay-Z's legal team and what we've seen them offer has never once said this is not. Jay-Z has said that ain't my child, you know, but they keep offering up different things that make it look like whether they are, you know, avoiding or evading this sort of process. Mm-hmm. So that then begs the question of why are they doing that? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that could be so simply, you know what I mean, solved and taken care of. You know my school of thought, especially if I'm a billionaire, keep
it
player.
That's
you know what I'm saying? This young man wants to know some facts around his existence. And if you are his father, just do what you got to do, man. Ultimately, this will be of no financial consequence to Jay-Z.
None.
This will not hurt his character. If anything, it'll look good.
Nobody thinks that Jay-Z has good character. Let's start with that.
So this may even help.
It might help.
This may help.
Yeah.
If people feel like you're literally saying, hey, you know,
let me rectify this in whatever
way I can today. So that's my thing. Take the test. Just get it over
and
take care of it and move on from this part of this story.
So I'm going to start where you left off, take the test.
Yeah.
Because, this is all remedied by a test. And, it's actually quite possible that Sean Corey Carter is not this young man's father.
Very possible.
And then if you take the test and it proves that there is no biological connection,
all of this is done.
All of this is done, and if he felt a way about it, he could probably actually come against this young man. I'm not recommending that, but
it's an option
to do a defamation. Okay.
I am recommending it. I'll go on the line and say that. If this is not his child and they've gone through all of this, yes, get your lick back.
So that's a legal remedy, also known as a lick back.
Yeah, get your lick back.
That's
what it is.
That's definitely what it is. So there's that. Let's start with take the test, Sean Corey Carter, and be done with it. Because if it is your son, as Dustin just said, it's a drop in the bucket financially for you. It's an and now this goes to my second and final thought on the matter. If I could talk to young Ramir, I would say I've been where you are.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it. So I know better than most the need for full identity.
Yeah.
And I understand the need to be a grown-ass person and still have outstanding questions around your paternal identity.
Absolutely.
So I commend you and I support you in your quest to get answers. But I don't, Ramir, want you to confuse factual understanding of your paternal identity, which is all you're going to get from a DNA test. And when I say all, I don't mean to minimize it, Dustin, because it's a lot. For some of us, it can be everything.
Mm-hmm. It may be all he wants. We don't know if he has other...
I don't think it's all he wants. I'm going to tell you why I've gathered that. Because two or three times in the factoid I just laid out earlier in the conversation, we hear things like this. If Jay-Z wants a relationship with me, if that's God's will, I just hope that he wants to have me in his life and be in my life. Ramir, I need to tell you that even if the genetic finding is 99.9% certain that Sean Corey Carter is your biological father, do not conflate that with a relationship.
Absolutely, yeah. That's a great point.
Because you will be disappointed.
Let down.
Let down, disappointed. Might go into full-on depression. We don't know. But I would advise Ramir to stay steadfast in your pursuit of identity, because that is important. Mm-hmm. I believe every child born on this earth deserves to know from which they genetically come from, which is why, as I pursue my single motherhood journey, I only consider, Dustin, sperm donors who allow what we call known identification, which means at the age of majority, 18, for my child, we will not only be able to find out, we get to file. This is the last known physical address. This is the last known contact information. At that point, AI might be up. We might get a whole pop-up shit, you know, hologram.
You never know.
The point is I am not going to bring a child into this world with the technology that we have today without him, her, or them being able to make that identifying connection of, okay, I know my mama is, and she raised the hell out of me. And now I just know who this other side is. Might have a relationship, might not.
But the information is available.
But the information is available. I, you know, through the grace of technology and God and my journey, I now know who my paternal father is. Great. I know that half of my DNA. That has tremendous value, Dustin.
Absolutely.
Just to see the face, hear the voice, know the name. Awesome.
Yep.
From a healthcare perspective, right?
Yep.
Knowing what's going on,
your
cancer, medical, all of those things. Also, there's just something to be said for knowing your complete identity.
I understand.
But Ramir, I do not want you to for one second think that even if paternity is established, that Sean Corey Carter even owes you a relationship. So you need to really bifurcate what justice looks like. Let's go full circle. We started this conversation with how is this young man defining justice? The justice is in the knowing. Do not think that justice owed to you looks like you and Sean Carter / Jay-Z being kumbaya, family
reunion.
Him being
a father to you.
And being a father to you. Likely that ship has passed.
Yeah.
So now at this point, good point. Mama Gloria over here, shockingly, doing like this. Where the money at?
Let's talk about it.
You right. Okay. Yeah, because she's still waiting on the check. So you're not going to get one. And let me tell you why, Mama Gloria. And Miss dearly departed Miss Wanda. And Ramir now.
And the guy mama, too.
And the guy, right. And my, what was guy mama?
Lori
name?
Lonnie. Who was it?
Miss, I think it was Lonnie. Hold on. Let me go back. Your ass. So silly. Miss Lily.
Miss Lily.
Something like something good. And
that's her restaurant.
Melanin. Yeah, you know Miss Lily's is the jam, the Jamaican spot.
I didn't know. That's who brought the. At least he was raised right.
Listen.
Because I know Miss Lily's got a lot of money for me over the years.
A lot for them fish sandwiches alone.
Okay.
Anyways, I digress. The reason that you're not going to get. Now, listen, this is different in this young man's case, only for the reason that Dustin pointed out earlier. If Ramir does the following, he does get, and it's actually in one of the claims, both identity and support.
Yeah.
He has both an identity and a support claim that's still on the table. But it's only on the table because he started the pursuit of paternity during his younger days. Once you fail to do that and at least start the process, Dustin, when you are under that age of majority, under that age of paternity, parentage rather, either 23, could be 18, could be 21, then you forfeit all of your claims. If you don't start that under those legal capstones, the court says, sorry, on the support issue. But of course, you can still pursue the identity issue. So that's that on that. We're going to get some more on some of these nuances of paternity later on in the show where we go back to Neo.
Test.
Because I think he's the daddy. I think that's got to be why. There's no other earthly reasonable explanation, Dustin, as to why you wouldn't just take the test.
I'm sure it has got to be cheaper and much easier for him and his for him just as a person, too.
I think that's ego at this point, right? I think at this point, this has got to be, right? Yeah, this has got to be Jay-Z saying, first of all, I'm Hove, I'm this, I'm that, I'm the greatest pop rap mogul icon of a generation, and I'm not going to be made to do anything.
Because I'm sure this is not the first time that
we know
sort
it's
of,
not. Yeah. We know it's not. There was some beautiful model. So this is the one that won't go away, though.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes one could argue, Dustin, that the one that won't go away might have the most merit.
Mm-hmm.
But again, we don't do speculation here on Holden Court. All we're saying is take the test and there's no more speculation.
None.
And your refusal to take the test and get rid of the speculation is saying something. So we're going to leave it right there on Mr. Hove. And we'll keep it moving. We'll keep you updated on this one because a lot of y'all have been flagging us in our DMs and comments because you want to know. And I get
yeah, we do too.
We do too. Let's keep it a buck. This one's really, really sad, Dustin. This is a young lady. She was 26 years old, Gabriela Gonzalez. She was seeking to terminate her pregnancy to get an abortion in a state where it's legal still, which is Colorado. She's from Texas, and she, of course, like so many women now in Texas or carriers of children in Texas, are not even allowed a safe and legal abortion anymore, mm-hmm. thanks to a bunch of idiots.
Mm-hmm.
Supreme Court.
Abbott.
Greg Abbott's dumbass, the governor mm-hmm. of Texas. And
Ted Cruz.
Who? No, right.
Exactly.
Exactly. So Miss Gabriela Gonzalez, at just 26 years old, was shot in the head.
Mm-hmm.
She was shot by Dustin, 22-year-old Harold Thompson. It's the alleged boyfriend. It's the alleged father of the child. This was in a Dallas parking lot, so she was able to receive the abortion. She came back home to Dallas at some point somehow. And by the way, there is surveillance video of this where she's in this parking lot. It's showing them in heated conversation / argument. Miss Gonzalez kind of shoo-shoos him, you know, like, you know, go on ahead somewhere, right? And then the two continue walking. 22-year-old Harold Thompson then pulls out a gun and shoots this young woman in the head. Not the foot, not the leg, not the stomach, the head, rather. She falls to the ground. Thompson then shoots her multiple times again, runs away. He was arrested shortly thereafter. He's currently in Dallas County Jail without a bond. Court records do not show an attorney listed yet on his behalf. This is just horrible. Again, Texas has banned abortions almost entirely, certainly after the first 6 weeks. But again, unless you've got a medical emergency or something like that, you know, there is no legal safe abortion in the state of Texas.
And guess what? That's who this is on. You know, the Bible talks about people being blood guilty.
Mm.
That's what this is. This is on Governor Abbott.
Your hands are dripping.
That's it. This is on everybody, all the Texas lawmakers mm-hmm. who have created this non-safe environment for women that are with child who need to terminate their pregnancy.
For whatever reason.
For whatever reason. Who need to terminate their pregnancy.
Who have decided, who want, who desire the legal right to terminate a child, which was established. Again, you know, I have to go back to this. I have to say, I was so convinced. We used to have this thing in law school called settled law.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know?
Roe versus Wade.
Roe versus Wade was settled law.
Mm-hmm.
The emancipation of slavery, settled law.
Mm-hmm. People ruin everything.
Yeah.
We had it done.
We had already taken care of this.
And now we're back because of people's racist ideologies.
That part,
And the way that they feel on the inside.
Yep.
And they're going to turn Texas and they're going to try to turn the entire country mm-hmm. into the Handmaid's Tale.
That's it.
That's what they're doing. And this is the first of many cases like this that are horrifying mm-hmm. that you're going to see. You're going to see a lot more of this because of the laws that they create. And it's a shame.
Yeah, because they've turned women, Dustin, that seek abortions in these states like Texas and Florida and these other places, they've turned them into fugitives.
Yeah.
That's what they've done.
Sure have.
You know what I mean? And so now these women are on the run.
What did they think was going to happen? People are going to stop having sex?
Yeah. Well, now that y'all have done that, never mind. I mean, come on now. It didn't work then. You know, that's why we have women dying of coat hanger abortions and the like.
What are you and Kimberly Elise's ignorant crying self, right? What are they trying to?
Oh, was she talking about that?
Oh, you don't remember the day that Roe versus Wade was overturned? She went on her Instagram and posted the audio of a lullaby and posted a scripture saying that, oh, so many babies. Thank you, Jesus.
Well,
Roe versus Wade is overturned. So many babies are going to be saved.
You know what I feel about that? Hmm. That's why her ass was the first one killed and set it off.
That's right. And that's why Charles was dragging her out that house in that Tyler Perry movie. That's right.
Show
because,
us.
And she's been crying in movies for
Ever
years.
Since.
We never even had to know her feelings about that.
Wow. Wow.
She could have kept that to herself, but the type of people
yeah.
that agree with that sort of thinking and
reasoning. And they love when a black face can you know,
and they want,
legitimize and
they want everybody to know, and they yeah. want to try to convince people to feel like that. Yeah, and that's why they share. We never even had to know her ignorant ass self was so feeling that way. But we know. So just that's a little nugget for y'all.
I did
listeners.
Not know that.
Never
so I'm
forget.
Glad
never you, forget.
Yeah, I don't want to see her in nothing else.
Yeah.
This affidavit that has been filed as a result of this man's murder charge, because he has, of course, been charged with murder. This is very, very sad, too. And we see this all the time with domestic homicides and violence, Dustin. At the time where he shot and killed this young woman, he already had pending charges of an assault with what we can legally presume was the same victim. This was a choking charge back in March. The affidavit then doesn't specify Ms. Gonzalez's name, but a lot of times they won't because they're the victims and there's a protective privacy.
Yeah.
But
which
does,
is a good thing.
Which is a great thing.
Yeah.
We'd have even more deceased victims. But what it does say in the affidavit, Dustin, is that the woman told the police that Thompson beat her. So this was the victim. Said that Mr. Thompson beat me multiple times throughout the entirety of our relationship, and that he told the police that the woman that he beat was pregnant with his child. And so thus Ms. Gonzalez going to get this abortion, subsequently being shot and killed by this man.
It's the kind of maniacs you produce when the laws
yeah.
support this sort of crazy behavior. This is a shame.
Yeah, it's the type of tangential consequence
mm-hmm.
that I think too few people think about, Dustin, mm-hmm. when they make these types of...
And he's 22.
Yeah.
So that's how far-reaching these policies and laws are going down. The young people
yeah.
in Texas are now feeling empowered and emboldened. You know what I mean?
And
to
legally
do this
supported.
Kind of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, when you make it illegal, you feed a mentality that says that these children bearers who decide to terminate their pregnancies for whatever the reason, that they're doing something wrong.
Right, Ebony.
And that they must be punished.
That's a shame.
And in
that
this
is
case,
a shame.
It's a death sentence.
Shot her in the head, then shot her some
more times.
That ain't no that is as intentional as it gets.
It's horrific. It's intentional.
22 and 26, Ebony.
He's accountable. He needs to be convicted of murder. I'm sure he will be. He needs to spend the rest of his life in jail. Actually, it's Texas, so he should be subject to the death penalty. At any rate, the blood's also on the hand of Greg Abbott.
Them Texas lawmakers.
It's
baby.
On the, all those Texas lawmakers, also the Supreme Court.
Absolutely.
Because Texas doesn't get to do this
unless the Supreme Court.
Supreme Court overturning Roe v. Wade.
Thanks, Trump.
Well, now you know what I'm about to go to, and I hate to do
who,
it, but I got to tell the
who
truth.
Who should have stacked it in
I
the
mean,
first place?
Come
I know.
On, Obama. Come on, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I respect
know.
The shit out of y'all, but come on now. You got to think long term.
And this is where the Democratic Party. Fails us every time.
Every time. Short-term
because you
thinking.
Always want to act against the back end of something that someone else has done instead of
they're
being
proactive.
They're
always reactive.
You're
yeah,
always
they're always
doing
reactive.
That.
So now you want everybody and their mama to show up in record number of voter turnout because you dropped the ball.
We got to work backwards.
Right. When you had a very balanced Supreme Court.
Which is the point of even getting in that position, right?
Yeah,
which to do what Donald Trump did.
Let's
stack
be,
it in your favor.
Let's be clear, Dustin. I mean, when you start talking about a Supreme Court circa 2008, I mean, first of all, that's the only way Obamacare survived. I mean,
yeah.
let's just because folks be having short term memories. And I know some
yeah,
of y'all, God
yeah,
bless you.
Yeah.
Some of y'all just started paying attention to politics
yeah.
in 2016.
Yeah.
So for those of us who've been at the desk a little longer, let's go
yeah.
back.
Yeah.
Obama had, and the Democratic Party, and really, you know, anybody that believes in civilian rights, you
mm-hmm.
know, you had a Supreme Court that was going to ride with you on most every issue that touches American life, from
mm-hmm.
affirmative action to abortion
mm-hmm.
to gay
mm-hmm.
LGBTQ marriage slash, and everybody talks about the marriage, and that's good and grand and all, but, you know, some people say marriage is overrated. So let's talk mm. about the things that really, really make a difference. Not being fired for being gay.
There you go.
Not making sure you can get health coverage.
There you go.
As a queer individual. Those things are also on the line. So let's talk about them as well. So anyways, back in 2008 and certainly in 2012 even,
mm-hmm.
when Obamacare came up and it was really hanging on for its existence by a thread, you had a Supreme Court that was so balanced that you have four say yes, you have four say no, and your conservative Chief Justice, John Roberts, appointed by Bush W.,
mm-hmm.
said, I'm gonna go with the Obamacare on this one.
Mm-hmm.
So he essentially, one could argue it from time to time,
with swing.
Is a swing vote.
Yep.
When you got a when you got a 4-4 conservative swing vote majority, come on now, it ain't gonna get a lot better
now,
than that.
Now we can get some things done, right?
Yeah, so I'm gonna leave it alone, honestly, because I'm kind of getting a little mad.
Yeah, because what Whitney say, didn't we almost have it all? When I think about this kind of stuff, it makes me wish that I had political aspirations a lot earlier in my life. I don't have them now.
No.
But I wish when I hear about this, it makes me feel like that.
That's not what you said, Dustin. What you said was, and I'm gonna run it back. Sookie, put flag this shit on the line. What Dustin Ross just said, America. Is that he said he wished that he had political aspirations earlier
which
in the
life.
Subtext because I'm a good friend
being a lawyer, y'all.
I'm being okay. An advocate for the people, damn it. Okay, and I know some people in Flint, I know some people in Detroit, mm-hmm. I know some people in New York, mm-hmm. where you live and where you run things.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to see it.
Yeah, it would be great.
I run your comms.
Yep, I'm a cussing politician too.
People. First of all, I don't even believe no politician that don't cuss.
I'm for the people.
You better ask LBJ.
Nah, but I just wish because it's so clear to me.
Yeah.
How things should go. It's mm-hmm. also clear to me that there's a process to this and there's a game. You know,
you said it right.
There's
it's a
game to be played
it's
here.
A game.
And you have to respect the game in any game you're in, right?
Yeah, you got to respect the rules.
Respect the game.
You got to respect the rules. But here's where I get pissed, and this is probably where your friend will likely not ever pursue anything in elected office.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and I said this on the Breakfast Club recently, a lot of y'all get the political representation you deserve.
Hey, now. I heard you when you made that point.
Yeah, and they glossed right over because they wanted to get to some silly, messy
mm-hmm,
shit.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of y'all, not everybody, but a lot of y'all get the political representation you deserve because you want people to tell you things that make you feel good.
That's the, and that, unfortunately, as much as we would love to acknowledge people's feelings and our own feelings, that ain't how the world is run.
I mean, ain't nothing wrong with feelings, but I'm just telling you, they don't substitute themselves for policy.
No, they don't.
And they don't substitute themselves for statutes.
And if you really want to keep it real, nobody cares.
They really don't.
No one cares.
So until we have an American electorate that is more concerned with process and progress and what is actually good versus what sounds good, it's going to keep going like it's going. And I'm done with it. So yeah. We're going to move on now to Neo.
Yeah.
All right. Neo has asked a judge recently to order a DNA test to be done to establish. So this is the opposite of what we saw with Jay-Z. This is Neo asking for a DNA test, but only one of the children that he has fathered with one-time girlfriend. This was a relationship, allegedly, Dustin, we know, that took place within his marriage,
mm-hmm.
To this young woman named Sade. What is this? Bagnaris, maybe?
Fine.
We'll go with that. She had not one but two children for Neo during this relationship. Looks like the relationship is now over. Mm-hmm. Shocker. Neo's ex-wife accused him of having one of these babies inside the marriage. And then, of course, there's been the second. Now, this is interesting to me only because he's asking only to establish paternity of one of the children and not both. So we know one child was born in 2021, Braden, second child. This is also interesting. Brixton. Let's talk about these names.
Mm-hmm.
So first child, Braden Bagnaris, if we're going with that. So that child has the mother's last name. That child was born in 2021, again, during the marriage. Second baby, also born of Sade, but the baby's name is Brixton Smith. Smith, of course, is Neo's last name. His
and
name
that's
is Shaper
the one
Smith.
That he's questioning.
So
the
that's the one. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that baby was just born in February of this year. So he's saying, this is Neo in his petition, Dustin, the best interest of the child and all parties, that Neo share in joint physical custody of the minor children. And he also desires a liberal parenting time schedule with his kids. He also wants joint legal custody. And we know from listening to Holding Court jurors, legal custody is the decision-making aspect.
Mm-hmm.
That's picking where they go to school, how they get health care, whether or not they, what is this noise over here? Whether or not they get immunized and all of that. So that's all excellent and great. I think he needs to go ahead and get both kids tested. Just, I don't know why in the world he would only do one when you need to do two, because otherwise he's going to be right back in the same position
again.
In 18 to 23 to 25 years.
What? Why wouldn't you? I have so many questions. You know what I mean? Why the baby? Why just the baby?
Why just the baby?
Did you have the hat on in court? Did you have the hat on when you made the baby? I just have questions.
I hope he had the hat on. Because
if not, that's a strong sister. Okay.
She committed.
She said 10 toes and 2 eyes. But anyway.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, I wonder why, though. Why? Yeah. It sounds like an argument to me. It sounds like him and her going through something that they weren't going through when they had the first baby.
Correct.
And now, you know, he's showing her
he's
what time it
some
is.
Kind of yeah. way. Yeah, it's again, I'm not mad at him wanting to establish the paternity. I think more men should do this, actually, to be candid. I remember when I was coming out of law school and I was doing family law, most of my clients were men. That was just the nature of family law at that time. It's evolved a bit. But yeah, y'all, like, it's really, to me, whether you married or not, that's a whole nother conversation. Hot take from EKW. Because again, as you discussed in Jay-Z, people do things, married or not. This is the nature of human behavior. When you are married, though, the court presumes paternity. So this is for all men listening, particularly those of you that are married. If you have any reason to believe that a child born of your wife during the marriage may or may not be yours, do yourself a favor and establish paternity via DNA test. You probably need to do it within 2 years because most states, Dustin, will lock you out.
After that second year.
Some states it's one. And I'm going to tell you why. I'm telling you, because I remember learning this while I was studying for the bar and being like, damn, like that's wild. That's really aggressive, right? It's because the state is ultimately a business. The government is a business. And the government says this, Dustin, we don't want to pay for y'all's children. So if you're married and you bring a child into the marriage, we're going to presume your paternity unless you prove to us otherwise. And you initiate that. Because if you wait forever in a day, the kid is 7, 10, 12, 14, 16, and now you want us to, no. The onus is on you to establish that paternity early on. Otherwise, we're going to, again, like AK, we're going to consider it a donation. Okay.
For real.
And that's what it is.
Wow. So I just, so do you think that, okay, so let's zoom out, right? Do you think that it should be law federally? Right? That when you put somebody's name on the birth certificate when a baby is born, right? How should we regulate all that?
I mean,
do you think paternity should be required?
About Judge Ebony's court, let me tell you what I think. Yes, I think married, not married, one night stand, single, don't matter. I think, you know, only because of the biological nature of maternity versus paternity.
Paternity, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
We
yeah.
know when the baby come out.
Who it came out of.
Correct. The rest is always, in my opinion, an outstanding question.
Yeah, yeah.
That's just the way I talk to the men that I know. And what is wrong? I personally, you know, obviously my journey is different now. But had I had a more traditional journey, I was always planning to get that paperwork done at time of delivery just on GP.
I wonder if that should be the way things go.
I think it would eliminate so much. But once again, why is it not the way of the world? Feelings. People would feel away. Well, why do I have to do that when I trust my wife? Okay, well, y'all go ahead and trust. But I'm a believer of trust and verify.
Same.
what a spicy,
right?
Dynamic episode.
Right.
I think there's going to be a lot of reflection on this one.
Should be. This is a baby daddy episode. Who that is?
My baby daddy.
Who that is? That's just my baby daddy.
That's just my baby daddy. Okay. Y'all, thank you so much. Join us next week when court is back in session. In the meantime, we really do want y'all to stay safe. Take your allergy medicine. These allergies are serious out here, y'all. Get your DNA test done.
Please.
Establish paternity.
Please, yes.
Go to your hearings. And what you want the people to do, Dustin?
Read your terms and conditions, please, because the age of parentage may vary from state to state.
You might find yourself shut out.
Okay.
And it's cold out there in the D. Holden Court is an Interval Presents original production from Uppity Productions in association with Dossie Media. Executive producer and host, Ebony K. Williams. Co-host and producer, Dustin Ross. From Interval Presents, executive producers, Alan Coy and Jake Kleinberg. Produced, of course, by Ashley J. Hobbs. Editing, sound design, and mix by Stephanie Morell. Original music by Epidemic Sound. Video editing by Kaysen Alexander and Courtney Deans. Consultant, Carla Wilmaris. Special thanks to Operations Lead, Sarah Yu. Business Development Lead, Sheffy Ellen Swag. And Marketing Lead, Samira Still.